Future provides career and employment perspectives for anyone interested in learning how others have navigated their vocational choices. Listeners will pick up tips about creating meaning in their lives, building experience, developing a professional network, and managing their own careers to have a positive impact. Featuring lively discussions and a special guest, we'll discuss unique career journeys and offer valuable insights into thinking about your future. It's never too soon to begin planning your career path, and it's never too late to make a change. Join us and learn how to take distress and anxiety out of career planning.
So now we're recording. All right. Hello and welcome to Discovering Your Future, a Frederick Community College podcast. I'm your host, Manuel Diaz, a student at FCC and a production member of the podcast. And today our guest is Mr. Nigo Negus, owner of the Roast House Pub and Union Mills Public House. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about what you've been working on and about yourself?
Well, first, thank you for having me, Manuel. So to start, we've been very, very busy. We signed our lease just prior to the pandemic hitting for our second location, Union Mills Public House. Pandemic hit, and then we, of course, shifted gears and concentrated all our efforts on keeping our original business, the Roast House Pub, afloat. As the pandemic went on, we then decided to go ahead and commit to Union Mills Public House, although things were bleak and a lot of people thought we were crazy. So about 6 to 8 months ago, again, shifted gears again, focusing efforts on Union Mills Public House. We put in a lot of work, and we just had our formal ribbon cutting on April 7th of this year. What we've decided to do with Union Mills Public House is open it up in phases. There's several components to the vision. Phase one is a large indoor event space in downtown Frederick, right on Carroll Creek. We have a full kitchen facility as well to cater into that event space. Then the next phase and final phase is building out our formal dining room, a restaurant area. Also, a hard cidery. We'll be manufacturing hard cider called Kutch Cider. We've partnered with McCutcheon's across the creek. We'll also be doing wood-fired pizza and gelato.
Wow. A lot of business avenues right there.
Yes.
So I want to ask, what made you go into venues?
So I guess my life has come a complete circle with my work. I started working in kitchens at age 13, washing dishes. Went on to college. I'm actually an alum of FCC. I did 2 semesters here before Salisbury University. Went off into the big wide world and settled back down in Frederick at age 30. Was in real estate. The housing market crashed. I still had a really good client database. So I was still working within real estate. Woke up one morning and decided it was a very difficult landscape to work in at the time after the housing market crashed. I saw a little ad in a newspaper for a catering company that was for sale locally. I inquired about it and ended up buying a very small catering company owned by a husband and wife here locally. So I started catering, then it became a full-time job, and I've been catering now for close to 14 years. And with catering, of course, as an off-site vendor, you're catering in venues across the DMV region. So I got to really get a good inside look as to what makes a venue go. What are the requirements to keep a venue successful and so forth. And again, the space right there in Carroll Creek in a beautiful brick historic building, it just screamed venue to us. So that's why we moved forward with that concept.
I want to ask, you know, you've worked so many different types of jobs, you know, and I haven't even asked about the period of time when you weren't in Frederick, you know. And I will get to that in a second, but I want to ask, you know, did you use your experiences from real estate all across, you know, all your jobs, really. Like, at least maybe not the actual business dealings of real estate or anything, but maybe some lessons that you learn and transfer them to your other industries.
That's a great question, and it's actually, now that I'm older, it's quite a simple answer. And what I found over the years, with my experience in working, regardless of the job or the task at hand, all of these things require human interaction and human beings. And the bottom line is, it really comes down to human relationships. In order for anything to be successful, you need to have successful relationships with the people that you surround yourself with. And that's really been the key to success, as far as for my wife and I, you know, opening up our first location, you know, really valuing our employees as human beings to start, appreciating our customers. Everything else seems to fall into place if you stick to that principle.
You know, I'm new to really just working. I recently got a job in AV in DC. So I work in a couple hotels and do some offsite too. But that's pretty recent. And, you know, that whole idea of personal relationships and client database and, you know, making sure that not only your coworkers, your employees and everything, you know, that you're on good terms with it, really everybody. Because at the end of the day, everyone's value to your company. Even if you're not looking at it from a perspective of, I should just be nice to be nice. You know, there's some people that truly just won't be nice to be nice, right?
Of course.
But even for those people, the incentive to be nice probably has more value than, you know, doing a bad job sometimes, or even being horrible to a client or whatever. Even if sometimes the client is horrible to you, you know.
No, that, and again, another great point is, everything needs to, your passion has to be genuine. Your drive has to be genuine. Your goals have to be genuine. Your relationships have to be genuine. It really has to be genuine. You know, there are the fakers out there. And at the end of the day, they're going to find themselves struggling typically. It's very important for things to be genuine, for sure.
Preach. Now I want to ask, you know, how was that time between when you left Frederick to coming back?
So I did a lot of traveling, singer-songwriter, really enjoy music. I love writing music. I actually minored in music here at FCC, but nonetheless, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was a great experience to see the world, meet so many different people, good people, different cultures I was exposed to. I was able to draw a lot of experience from those cultures, actually, is what prompted or inspired me to up my chef game, if you will. So a lot of the food that I'm working with now, I like to create different styles from around the world and do fusion-based dishes. And again, that experience in my life was very valuable, for sure.
And when you were working real estate, I want to ask, was that your own company?
It was not. And to be honest, I never saw myself becoming a part of the real estate industry. Long story short, when I returned home from traveling and doing the music, I settled back down here in Frederick and immediately got two jobs, one of which was an evening job bartending, two nights a week. And I had some regular customers that would come in after a few months, and they actually turned out they worked for a real estate company and had basically told me I would be a great asset to their staff, and had invited me to come in and meet with the owner of the company. And I did so, and as it turns out, I ended up doing that for about 12 years. So yeah, I didn't see that coming, but I did learn a lot, and I really enjoyed working with first-time home buyers and first-time business entrepreneurs looking for space. That was my niche. That's what I really enjoyed. And again, a lot of valuable things learned to help me move forward into opening up my own business.
And when it came to opening your own business, I imagine that was a big jump, especially changing in industries.
Yes, quite a leap, and terrifying. But I will say I learned a really good piece of wisdom from an older businessman who had been an entrepreneur his whole life. And I was speaking with this gentleman a few weeks before I made my final decision about starting my own business. And the gentleman said to me, "Well, Nico, if you weren't terrified, then you wouldn't care." And a big light bulb went off. And so I immediately realized that, yes, I do care. Yes, I am passionate about what I'm about to do. It means everything to me to be successful. And hence, that's why, you know, you're terrified. So I decided to take the leap from there.
Nice. I mean, it surely paid off.
It did. It's definitely allowed me to, for my wife and I to raise our family. And, you know, Frederick's a great place to live. And it's also given us the opportunity to move on to a second endeavor, which is Unimills Public House. And, I you know, it's a lot of hard work and dedication. But, you know, again, as long as it's genuine and you value the relationships you have with everybody around you, things should work themselves out just fine.
I want to ask, growing up, you know, to have a business mindset, and since you've been through so much, really, you know, to be able to take the chances, who do you think influences you and who inspires you from growing up?
So growing up, I was the kid who was kind of involved in a lot of different things. I played a lot of sports. Was in Cub Scouts. Loved to be out in nature. Liked to help with, you know, the lemonade stand, the fundraiser in the neighborhood. I just like to sort of be involved in a lot of different things. So there were definitely a few different influences. Probably my baseball hero, Lou Brock, was probably a big inspiration. Probably for some people listening to this, that might be a little dated, but yes, Lou Brock. Probably to start, there's some teachers along the way, particularly in high school, that inspired me. And then some local business owners that I actually worked for when I was younger that were doing things the right way, and they were genuine. They certainly inspired me as well.
Nice. I want to ask, well, let me add on that. I think one thing is just learning from older people is definitely one thing that is definitely more like, I think as a youth, right, to understand business, it's kind of tough, right? Because you really don't know anything about it unless, like, the people you grew up with were specifically those people that knew how to make connections, how to make those human relationships, and how to build a business, really. And, you know, that's something that I've noticed, especially, like, now kind of working with more adults. Like, you know, very quickly the shift happens, I feel like. You know, from one day you're in a school and you got to raise your hand to just go to the bathroom, and then the next day everyone's asking for your opinion, grown adults. You know, and it's like, oh, I've never even been asked my opinion before. And then, you know, to sit and just listen sometimes, I think, to adults that have lived lives and just already done everything, I think is probably one of the most valuable things, because at the end of the day, they've been through it. There's really nothing you can say to take away from that experience or anything, because they're telling their truth from their perspective, really.
That's very true. And you're right. It seems like in a flash, you're raising your hand to ask or calling on people to raise their hand. It, you know, life is short. I know I remember being 20 years old and hearing that. I wish I would have listened more. You know, listening is a very important thing when you're in business for yourself. Whether you're listening to your customers, whether you're listening to your employees, you know, whether you're listening to yourself, to your gut, but I also think, you know, there shouldn't be anything regrettable about that. It's just a learning component as far as, you know, growing up. Listening is very important, but I agree. It does happen very quickly. Again, you go from the hand raiser to that adult who's actually calling hands to be raised. So that's kind of my perspective on that.
And I want to ask, coming out of college, you know, you said you majored in communications.
I did communications and cultural anthropology and sociology. So double major at the end of the day. It was a liberal arts-based degree. I think it set me up to be worldly. It set me up to feel confident traveling and seeing the world. And that experience in itself certainly was an education in and of itself. You know, there comes a certain point where you can only teach so much in a classroom, but actually having the experience in real time certainly is what I would consider a part of education, for sure.
And coming out of college, you went to the music industry, correct?
I did.
So how did that kind of lead together, like the experience of college or going into the music industry? If they're linked at all.
They are. So growing up, so my mom was an art teacher. So I was experienced, I was introduced to the arts world, if you will, from an early age. My father loved music, all types of music. So, I'd already had sort of that as a part of me, or my makeup or my fabric, if you will. And then I had a long commute once I transferred from FCC, going to Salisbury University. I had about a 50-minute commute to classes every day to and from. Really started listening to a lot of music through a cassette player in the car. So I just gave away my age there. But with that, just began to write music. I'd already been playing music, you know, prior to going to college, but I started taking it really seriously as far as the writing aspect, and ended up meeting similar-minded people such as myself in college. As a freshman, third semester, and formed a band, and it kind of went from there.
And you did that for how many again?
So I was in a band situation for about 4.5 years, and then another 5 years is when I was doing solo and traveling.
And, you know, opening up a venue, I bet that's a lot to do with music as well. So.
Sure. So I've catered in venues and I've played music in venues. You know, that's the thing that's very appealing to me about venues is, or event spaces. You know, it brings people together. And typically when those people come together, it's to have a good time, to share you know, in their common appreciation of whether it's music, whether it's somebody's marriage, you know, typically it involves a celebration of some sort. So that certainly is appealing to me for sure.
Well said. All right. So what are you looking forward to in the future?
So in the near future is getting open up the final phase at Union Mills Public House, as far as the restaurant, with our outdoor seating on the creek. And then from there, just taking it for a good long drive and working out any kinks. Then the goal is to become downtown Frederick's premier event space. I do want to be very clear. When my wife Mary and I took on this vision in this project, we never intended on our venue space to be a hoity-toity wedding venue. And let me just explain. So the building that we are renting or leasing is very historic. It's been here a lot longer than all of us. And it's absolutely just a stunning building. Just walking into the space, you can feel all the stories that come with it and the history. And because of that, what Mary and I would like to do with the space, and hence the name Union Mills Public House, we want to share our event space with the entire community. So it's not, again, for hoity-toity weddings. Yes, they'll be helpful to pay the bills, but at the end of the day, we would like to share our space with everybody in our community. And that includes nonprofit fundraisers, city officials, county officials, educational institutions, you name it. Our doors are open to everybody. So I'm excited about that.
And what are you looking forward to in terms of personal life, in terms of getting older?
Well, I'm not thinking about retirement just yet. I've probably got another 10-year battle of some hard work to put in. But we are in the process of, and will be in the process over the next few years, of recruiting the right people to be a part of our team. And then as years go by, I can slowly sort of remove myself, if you will, and look forward to maybe retiring in maybe 15, 18 years or so.
Sounds like a plan. What gives your work meaning to you?
Well, simply put, the first thing is just simply completing a task that I've set my mind out to complete. And ultimately, and probably the most important, would be just, you know, food is the common denominator. Food and water is the common denominator in all of us. And, you know, you hear the old saying, breaking bread with somebody else. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. And I get a lot of enjoyment just bringing people together and being a part of that togetherness by offering food and drink and putting smiles on people's faces and enhancing the experience of that coming together. So I think at the end of the day, that's the biggest satisfaction I get out of what I do.
I guess that's true. That's truly just like a chef perspective, you know, food bringing together everybody.
Absolutely.
I mean, it truly is a culture.
Absolutely.
I want to ask, what type of impact has driven your success?
I think work ethic to start. You know, my parents were hard workers, and you know, I think you know, in anything good, anything great requires a building blocks and a foundation. For me, the most important block within that foundation, I think, is work ethic. And with that work ethic, you know, comes drive and genuine passion but definitely work ethic for me would be the most important building block within that foundation.
Yeah. One thing I definitely noticed, and I'll say this personally, like, before, I'm going to be real, like, just a couple years ago, I feel like my work ethic was, like, almost nothing. You know, it just, like, as a kid, probably, like, I was a rebellious teen or whatever. But nowadays, I feel like, especially just given the chances in the real world, now that I'm especially, like, given those chances, and I'm now, like, and being treated, again, like an adult with responsibilities, it is definitely a lot more, I don't know, it definitely dawns on you that there's really no one else that can do that work ethic for you except yourself. And, you know, that came at me quick, especially, like, you know, I was pretty much a brat, so I was just like, you know, that was a huge change to me.
And you should be proud that you made that change. It's important. And, you know, the other thing, you know, the next thing that comes with that is when you realize that you have responsibilities and, you know, you're given opportunities, you're treated like an adult. The other important thing that comes with that is the day you realize that there are actual other people that have this, that have the same responsibilities, that are actually counting on you. And it almost, in an odd way, some people might feel stressed out about that, but for me, it makes me feel good knowing that there's people that count on me, and they probably because they, you know, care about me. So, you know, that's an important part of that equation as well, is understanding that, you know, having opportunities, becoming an adult, realizing you have responsibilities. You know, the beauty again of that is there's a group of people that are probably counting on you. So, well done, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. I want to ask, what's your advice to anybody listening to this podcast?
So my advice, you know, we all certainly probably have our own opinions, of course. So keeping my opinion out of this, I think just from an obvious standpoint, I think my advice would be complete your education. Education is very important in the classroom, but understand that there's also more education to come in the bigger world through experiences, through situations with other people, interactions with other people. And as long as, again, you're believing in yourself and it's genuine, you have genuine passion about what you're doing, and you're trying to do the right things, don't be so concerned about where you are now or money. Those other things are intangible, and they ultimately do fall into place. So just be more focused on the people around you. Again, be genuine. And again, the intangible things such as money and success, those things will come secondary. And but again, don't lose sight of just being yourself and genuine, for sure.
Well said. Well, to wrap it up, this has been Discovering Your Future podcast with your host, Manuel Diaz, and guest, Mr. Nigo Negus. I want to thank everyone for listening and our guests for taking their time to come talk with us. For any Frederick and DMV locals, check out the Roast House Pub and Union Mills Public House, and may everyone have a great rest of your day. Peace.
Thank you for having me, Manuel.
No problem. Peace.
Peace.
Inspiration for you and will help you make wise decisions involving your professional career. We appreciate your continued support. If you have any questions or topic suggestions, feel free to leave them in a comment section. And don't forget to visit the FCC website for great career info. And